Welcome to NGA Notable Lectures, a podcast offering a deeper understanding of all things artistic. In this conversation, held on April 6, 2019 at the National Gallery of Art, award-winning artists Kwame Alexander and Kadir Nelson share inspiration and read excerpts from their newly released picture book, The Undefeated. Originally performed for ESPN's website, theundefeated.com, this illustrated poem is a love letter to Black life in the United States. With references to lyrics and lines originally shared by our most celebrated heroes, Martin Luther King Jr., Langston Hughes, Gwendolyn Brooks, and others, the poem offers deeper insights into the accomplishments of the past while bringing stark attention to the endurance and spirit of those surviving and thriving in the present. The Undefeated brings together race, sports, culture, and art. Kevin Morita, Senior Vice President and Editor-in-Chief of ESPN's TheUndefeated.com, moderates the discussion.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's always love to see children, you know, anywhere, and it's great to see them with parents. It warms me, gives me comfort and hope about this country every time I see kids. And I'm really happy to be here with these two geniuses next to me. And they really are special. I've never met Kadir. I just learned that he was born in Silver Spring. And so he's kind of in my hood. That's where I live now. It's where my kids grew up. And Kwame and I have known each other for a long time. The first thing I would just ask, maybe just with you, Kwame, is, we have a little origin story related to Undefeated, but tell me what your inspiration was in doing this poem and this book.
Right. So when Obama was elected in 08, my daughter was born, my second daughter, and I realized that she came into this world where the only president she knew was a Black man. And I thought that was kind of cool. Like, by default, that would be her idea of what a president is and what would be possible for her. And I thought I should write something to show her how we got here, how we waded in the water, how we got over, how we crossed the River Jordan and arrived at this place, because it didn't come out of a vacuum. And so I wanted to write a piece. And so I wrote this piece called An American Poem. And it was about that journey of tragedy and triumph. And 8 years later, I want to say, when you reached out to me about the undefeated.com, the website that you helped launch and managed and edit and now run at ESPN, you wanted me to sort of write a piece. And I thought, well, let me find this piece that I started writing in 08, because I think this is relevant. And then it became, well, how does it connect with what you're doing, which is TheUndefeated.com, if I'm correct, is exploring the intersection of race, sports, and culture.
Yeah, and just to get to set the stage for this, this is such great symmetry for me. When we launched this platform, it was really in May 2016, and the kind of what I would call the godmother of it was Maya Angelou, and the name is really derived from a quotation of hers that basically says that, you know, we may encounter many defeats, but we will not be defeated. And she said it in many different spaces and times and in different versions, but that's the resonance of our site. We said we were gonna be fearless and not conventional and never boring is our tagline. But the idea that defeat is not in and of itself defeating, and that it spoke to both certainly the history of African Americans in this country, the sense of struggle and perseverance and triumph out of pain and lots of other ways to achieve success and to learn. And also for us, because The Undefeated is a sports, under the umbrella of a sports company, ESPN, it speaks a lot about sports. And I know we have a lot of kids play sports, and sometimes Man, we never like to see our kids, they lose a little league game and they're broken up, but it's not the end, right? It's their lessons learned from it. And so that was kind of the connection. And Kwame and I knew each other, and I was like, our platform, we said we're gonna do comedy and music and poetry. And when we said poetry, I was like, the first person I'm thinking of is Kwame Alexander. You know, first of all, he's here. And I said, we need something early on to represent us. And he did it just so beautifully. It every time I need some inspiration, sometimes you do when you're a leader and an executive in the media, I click on a video, which I hope we will be able to see, that we shot with Kwame performing this in video, and we shot it with kids. And I play it, I take it to groups, and it's still one of the favorite things that we have done, and it inspires me. And I think that's one of the things we all need in our lives is inspiration. Kadir, how did you two come together and connect?
Well, Kwame and I, we met a few years before we started working on this book. Just in that, you know, we're in this field, and often we come across other authors, and not long after that, I was my agent actually asked me to look at the website, at the video on the website, and with the idea that it would be becoming a book, and I was being, you know, asked to illustrate it, and I thought the video was amazing, the poem was amazing, it was inspiring, and it had you know, it was poignant, it was beautifully written and full of light and air, and there was really no way that I wasn't going to add or try to, you know, add to what Kwame has done with artwork.
So you both have done, I mean, you, Kadir, have done, maybe you've worked, obviously, The New Yorker, and you've worked with musicians and movie studios, and also the power of you know, you've done a lot with children's books as Kwame. For both of you, what makes for a good children's book? You know, and I always look at about the simplicity. There's such power. It's like you're aiming something at kids, and it's still kind of in the innocence of life before the minds are cluttered with so much bad stuff. And I always feel like that's a great way to learn history. But I wonder what you guys think when you're putting together children's books, and you've done many, including this is a magnificent one. What makes for a good one?
Yeah, so I think that children's book authors and illustrators and librarians and teachers and educators, like, it's sacred work, you know, that you're doing, that we're doing. We have a responsibility to help kids imagine a better world. And sometimes the world is not so beautiful. There's chaos and confusion. I was in London recently, and like everybody from customs to the cat at the Indian restaurant to, you know, everybody I met was like, "Dad, what's going on in your country?" And I was like, do y'all know Brexit? What's going on in your country? So there's like chaos and confusion and stuff happening around the world. And I'm like, well, how do we deal? How do we heal? How do we cope? How do we deal with the woes and wonders of the world, especially for our children? And I posit that it's through children's literature. It's through learning. It's through school, really, that we can help young people imagine a better world. And I think that's my responsibility as someone who is a creator of children's books. I call it intelligent entertainment.
And I think I'll add to that, and that, I mean, what's going to make a good children's book is, I'll start with this. When I was a little kid, I was one of those little boys that was not a big reader. I didn't like reading. And it was because I wasn't really given books that I was about things that I was interested in. And the funny part of that is that I didn't like reading, but I loved stories. And that's where it begins, is the story. That's that has to be the most that's the most important thing, mm-hmm. is the story when creating a book for children or adults. And I think that for this one, I think it crosses from the youngest to the oldest. It's not really just for one specific group, but it's great because one of the first ways that we learn is visually. There's a visual language. There's the spoken language and the visual language. And I think when they come together in a picture book, it makes it even more powerful.
And that's what I think is really one of the most amazing things about this book in particular, and just your work in general, is I wrote a poem. It's maybe 120 words, Kevin. But Kadir is telling a whole nother story with the illustrations. Like, there's other stuff. And I think that's the beauty of a great illustrator, is when they can come in and not just paint the words, but paint a whole nother narrative.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when I see your work, and it's definitely represented here, but it's in everything. It's like I wanna reach out and grab. I wanna shake the hand of hug somebody. I mean, it's so vivid. It's like it's speaking to me. Like some of these people are no longer with us, so you've resurrected ancestors for me. And it's so powerful and compelling. I don't know how you came to with your style, but would love to know.
Well, I started very young. I have an uncle who's an art teacher, an artist who really took me under his wing. And my uncle Mike, I became his apprentice. I went to art school, but I also worked in film. So I approach each book as though it were a silent film. So you should be able to read the book without having to read the words, just by looking at the images. I think one of the things that Kwame and I, as we've been on the road, one of the things that he said that he enjoys about writing poetry is how accessible it is and the fact that there's a lot of white space on the page. And I think the irony is that in creating the artwork, I left a lot of white space on the page. So it's like a visual poem and a written poem in one piece. I thought that was really cool.
So Kwame, this is history that unspools in this book, and you do it's a brilliant job in the poem of both lifting us up with inspiration and also reminding us of some really painful things, some ugly things. And what's the balance? How did you strike that balance?
I mean, I'm a genius.
I know. I introduced you that way. I know that. I like that. I love it.
That's a good question. Let me just read it.
Please, read that.
All right, because I'm not sure what the answer is to that yet. This is for the unforgettable, the swift and sweet ones who hurdled history and opened a world of possible. The ones who survived America by any means necessary, and the ones who didn't. This is for the undeniable, the ones who score with chains on one hand and faith in the other. This is for the unflappable, the sophisticated ones who box adversity and tackle vision, who shine their light for the world to see, and don't stop till the break of dawn. This is for the unafraid, the audacious ones who carried the red, white, and weary blues on the battlefield to save an imperfect union. The righteous marching ones who sang, "We shall not be moved because Black lives matter." This is for the unspeakable. I think the beauty of poetry is that you can say a whole lot of emotionally weighty and heavy stuff in such a few words. And it's the words that aren't there that really speak to us. This is for the unspeakable. This is for the unspeakable. This is for the unlimited, unstoppable ones, the dreamers and the doers who swim across the big sea of our imagination and show us the majestic shores of the promised land. And so when Kevin asked me to do the poem, like, there was no sports really in the piece. And of course, there needed to be some sports, and it needed to be weaved in an organic way. This is for the Wilma Rudolphs, the Muhammad Ali's, the Althea Gibsons, the Jesse Owens, the Jordans and the LeBrons, the Serenas and the Sherrills, the Reese Whitleys and the Undiscovered. An interviewer asked me, why'd you have Jordan in there? He wasn't political. And I was like, well, there is some political statement being made by Michael Jordan just being the greatest player on the court. Like, okay, I kind of see him as a role model as of for athletes, for kids who want to excel on the court. And maybe because LeBron started a school, maybe he's a mind model. Like, we need all kinds of models. This is for the unbelievable, the we real cool ones. This is for the unbending, the black as the night is beautiful ones. This is for the underdogs and the uncertain, the unspoken but no longer untitled. This is for the undefeated. This is for the undefeated. This is for you and you and you and you and you. This is for us.
Very powerful, right? I was speaking to my new friend Catherine, sitting in the front row, who's a first grade teacher, who said her favorite part was the one where you say, those who survived America by any means necessary, and the ones who didn't. And in between, there's a blank page. What were you thinking then?
So that's a Kadir question. It's probably one of the most brilliant, genius decisions ever made in the history of, you got to answer that. But I will say this. There was a moment where we considered having doves on the page. I'll just throw that out there. Now,
For me, it was kind of an obvious decision. What is the image for those, all the ones who didn't? It's either everything or nothing. I think it was covered when we talked about the unspeakable. So let's have a moment of pause. Let's have a moment of silence for all the ones who didn't, because that means something very different to all of us, because we all know about those, the ones who didn't. We all have those in our family. This is a book about not just the people that we know, but the people that we don't know. But all of those people who we don't know, all of their contributions to the story of America is just as important as those who did that we do know. So let's just have a moment to think about that.
When you mentioned the unspeakable, and in the poem, it's, this is for the unspeakable. This is for the unspeakable. This is for the unspeakable, three different times. And with each one, there's a representation. One is through slavery and the line of slaves. The next one is four little girls, Birmingham girls. And then the last is a candlelight vigil, which we see in so many neighborhoods when we lose deaths. Those are images of people killed by police. How did you make those choices?
Well, I I wanted to create images that were historical and contemporary. So I wanted to show the story of how these unspeakable tragedies have crossed generations and that they're still happening just recently, you know? So I think I just go with my heart. What's the most, what first comes to mind? What do I think of when I think of unspeakable? There are very obvious choices, and then there are some that may not be as obvious. But I felt like those particular stories needed to be shown, and I needed to show the connection between them.
Makes total sense, right? So for you, Kwame, I was struck by there was this is for the Wilma Rudolphs and the Jordans and the LeBrons, but we end on and the undiscovered. And we know that there's so many people who could have been any of those, or could have been a brilliant scientist, could have been Frederick Douglass, could have been president. He had come around at a different time. He was qualified to be president. And there's so many that just never reached that level of prominence that we know about him. What was the significance of that line? Because it's highlighted and it jumped out to me.
Senior year in high school, my AP English teacher gave me an F on a paper I wrote about Things Fall Apart, the Chinua Achebe novel. And when I went to talk to her about it, she said the paper was excellent. It was so good, there's no way you could have written it. Mm. So my father, who's here, went up to the school and the grade got changed to an A. But what about the kids who don't have the father to go up to the school? Like, how are they gonna know their worth? I posit that it's when we know of the tragedy and the triumph, of the pain and the progress. Like, I feel like the reason we celebrate Black History Month is not just to sort of recognize and honor the people who came before us, which of course it is, but it's about learning from how they were able to thrive and survive. And like Langston Hughes said, we still here. Like, we weren't supposed to be here. And so if you can sort of think about your life, your work, your efforts, in the context of these people who came before you, who thrived amidst these sort of almost impossible forces and odds against them, then like really you can do anything. And I think that's really what Kadir and I are trying to do in this book, my words, his paintings, is to show that tragedy, show the truth, and show the triumph.
Yeah. And when you put all those things together, you know, that's, you got inspiration.
Right.
So maybe to put a book in, you could show the video, and yep, then we can go to questions.
It's a great idea.
This is for the unforgettable, the swift and sweet ones who hurdled history and opened a world of possible, the ones who survived America by any means necessary, and the ones who didn't. This is for the undeniable, the ones who scored with chains on one hand and hope in the other. This is for the unflappable, the sophisticated ones who box adversity, who tackle vision, who shine their light for the world to see and don't stop till the break of dawn. This is for the unafraid, the righteous marching ones who carried the red, white, and weary blues, who sang, "We shall not be moved because Black lives matter." This is for the unspeakable, and this is for the unstoppable. This is for the unspeakable, and this is for the unstoppable. This is for the doers and the dreamers and the doers who swim the big sea of our imagination and show us the majestic shores of the promised land. The Jesse Owens, the Althea Gibsons, the Wilma Rudolphs, the Muhammad Ali's, the Jordans and the Swoops, the Serenas and the LeBrons, the Reese Whitleys and the Undiscovered. This is for the unbelievable, the we real cool ones. This is for the unbending, the black as the night is beautiful ones. This is for the underdogs and the uncertain, the unspoken, but no longer untitled. This is for the undefeated. This is for the undefeated. This is for you and you and you. This is for us.
Wow.
To give credit, that was shot and by Marquise Daisy, who worked closely with Kwame. He's a brilliant director of films for ESPN, done a lot of 30 for 30s, and so that was a collaboration there. So we'd love to be able to go to questions now. Please go to the mics on each end, and I know these gentlemen will be happy to take your questions. You're first up.
Hello, I'm a big fan. I wanted to know what the symbolism of the, I don't know if you talked about already, the butterflies and the cranes.
Okay, there are two visual devices that are used throughout the book to carry the, to help carry the story along. One is shadows. And we start off with Jesse Owens leaping out of the shadows into the light. So we're bringing this story into the light. We're coming from a history that is in shadows and bringing it forward. The book starts off with figures coming partially covered by in shadow. And they are, as the story progresses, they emerge from the shadows by being excellent. So when we get to spreads that I call the talented tenth, with the artists, the writers, and so forth, we're fully immersed in light and color. The other device that I use that to carry the story along is our birds and butterflies. And these represent spirit. The spirit of a people, the spirit of freedom, of creativity, of excellence, spirit. It actually comes from ancient Egypt. Characters or representations of spirit are represented by flying creatures. That's what that's about.
Hello, I'm Diane, a retired librarian, and I've been a librarian from any place from kindergarten through graduate schools and law schools. But I met Kwame back in 1997, and with his one of his first books, Just Us.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, and I've been following Kadir since his book that he did with Debbie Allen, Dancing in the Wings. At that time, my daughter was a dancer. And I say all of this to say, it is 2019, and these guys have been writing and painting for a long time. And so I want to say, since you have an audience of students, of kids here, and who may have aspirations, dreams, if you could give a little brief biography of how you got to from yesteryear to today, so that they know that they too can work hard to become the author, poet, and illustrator that they may want to be.
Okay, I'll start. Well, I mean, I guess we all start somewhere. And I mean, I was born here in Silver Spring. I have fortunately have two parents that were educators, and who both supported my gifts. I started at a very early age. I started drawing at the age of three. I have an uncle I drew all the time. I have an uncle who's an artist and art teacher, my Uncle Mike, who took me under his wing at a very early age. And really, I think, helped set me apart from my peers and gave me a very strong art foundation. I went to art school and began working immediately after. I think it was the fact that I had a very supportive family was very, very important. And then I also had role models in my parents, and then people who would become my role models who I didn't know. People like that, Michael Jordan, who was, you know, a really wonderful role model for me, who was an example of being excellent. That was something that my siblings were taught, was that you can overcome any obstacle just by being excellent. So I think that's in a nutshell, where I come from.
Yeah, I would say something to the parents. Like, kids grow up to become the kind of people that we as parents and educators and teachers create. And we have that potential to build beautiful human beings who can take on the world, or we have the capacity to destroy them. When I was 3 years old, my mother had read to me a lot of Lucille Clifton and Nikki Giovanni and Dr. Seuss. And my favorite book was Fox in Socks. And I knew it. Fox, socks, Knox, box. Fox in socks, socks in box. Like, that was my book. And I was going to this daycare called Riverside Daycare on the Upper West Side of New York, because my parents were in grad school at Columbia. And one day at the end of school, this kid knocks over a house I had built out of blocks. And I went up to him with the only weapons I had, my words. And I was like, yo, those were my blocks that you flipped. Lest you want a quick payback, better fix my quick block stack. And the kids started crying. And when my mother came to pick me up from school, the teachers were like, Miss Alexander, we have a problem. Your son is arrogant. He intimidates the other kids with his words. And my mother was like, thank you. And so I think if we want our kids to grow up to become the kind of adults that are better than us, that can do better, can make this world a better place, we gotta create them as children. We gotta put in that work. I think it's important for the parents.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Naomi, and I have a question. How long have the two of you been writing books together?
This is our first book together. So, 1 year.
I gotta say, when Margaret told our editor, Margaret is here. Margaret, stand up. When Margaret told me that Kadir was thinking about doing the book, I was like, thinking or doing? I hope he's gonna do it, because it's such an honor. It was an incredible experience, and it's very rare to be a part of a project where the illustrations, like, just, I mean, and as a writer, you, like, I have an ego, right? But I'm gonna say this, like, the illustrations are like just genius and brilliant, and like make the writing sound better.
So what he's basically saying is that they're gonna do some more projects together. So try to rack up like the Golden State Warriors, 3 rings, 4.
Hey, well, the other thing about Kadir, y'all, is, I mean, he's doing New Yorker covers. He's a brilliant writer, too. Y'all got heart and soul? I mean, and he just did a stamp. He's done 13 stamps for the postal office. Does anyone know the one that was debuted on April 2nd?
Marvin Gaye.
Say it like you mean it. Marvin Gaye.
Don't forget Will Chamberlain, though. Y'all got that stamp.
Good morning. My name is Kendrick Johnson. First of all, I'd just like to say a quick thank you to both of you. Quick story, my son, who is now 14, when he was a baby, one growing into a toddler, I started him off with Kadir's work. And like the gentleman mentioned, your work pretty much jumps off the page and makes it more appealing for parents and to grab it and showcase it to their kids. So thank you. And then fast forward to now, a year or two started ago, he discovered your work, Kwame, and he's read all of your books. So thank you, appreciate it, love the work. My question basically follows up on what you mentioned, Kwame, about receiving that F for work that you did yourself. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of us might have encountered that, but it's commonplace for kids. That could have been something that set you back and stopped you in your tracks and maybe not, you know, might have led you to become the great writer that you are today. But my question is for the young kids and the older kids and even the adults, how do you deal with failure? Because I'm sure there's a lot of rejection that comes with writing and creating. How do you deal with failure in your early stages and how did you move on from that process? Thank you.
So I think... Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think that's the purpose of this book. It's like when you think about what our ancestors have been through, and you like, you know, writer's block ain't that really a big deal. I mean, think about it. It's like, you know, I can figure out how to excel at writing a poem. Like, I can figure that out. I can take the time to put in that work. I can wake up at 5:30 and work for 2 or 3 hours. You know, like that stuff is putting in the work. But again, I can't tell you how important it is to surround yourself with people who are going to uplift you, with people who are going to push you forward. Like the people around you are really crucial. That's how I would answer it. But yeah, failure is a part of it.
You know, I'm just going to jump in to say, you know, it's important to know our history and be reminded of it and be motivated by it. I know at our place at the Undefeated, sometimes when I hear writers complain, and it's not that their complaints are not legitimate in the current time, but I have to remind them like of Simeon Booker, who was the first African-American reporter of the Washington Post, covered the Emmett Till trial. Others who worked in the black press, they had to cover things down in the Deep South in fear of their life. You know, they had to, they couldn't eat places. They had to hide. They had to write amid death threats. So it was a different time, you know, and it's good to be motivated by and inspired by those who came before us because it always helps you kind of deal with the failure in contemporary times.
There's a young lady right here. Her name is Havana. And I want to say Havana is 8 or 9 years old. Havana, how would you answer that question about what keeps you going and moving forward, even though you may fail sometimes?
Well, I would say I would learn from my mistakes. 'Cause when I, like, for example, when I'm doing my speeches, whenever I mess up and then... I make it better for the next time, and I just, even though I'm 8, it just does. I can learn from my mistakes, and when I can actually, you know. Well, everyone's powerful, and everyone's unstoppable, and we can learn. Well, we are unstoppable and we're powerful and we can do whatever we need to do to make things right.
Perfect.
Did you have a question?
You have a question?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, who inspired you to write this book? Well, I mean, like who, how are you so inspired to write this wonderful book? I mean,
right. Yeah. It's a great question. So you know my daughter, Samaya.
Yeah.
Stand up, Samaya. Yeah. So I think Samaya inspired me to want to write this particular poem and share this story. because I wanted to give her that insight into how we got to this point, and remind her that we are, even though we face defeat, we must never be defeated. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not sure how much I have a question as a comment, and I just wanted to publicly express my gratitude. My name is Nzinga. My mother named me after an African queen in order to link me to the known parts of our ancestry and history and the unknown as well. And throughout my childhood, she really struggled to bring images and present them to myself and my four siblings that allowed us to see ourselves. Ebony and Jet magazine, for example, and really being critical about the images and the video, television, books that we were permitted to be exposed to. I've accidentally stumbled upon your books, and I was very excited, and I'm just very grateful because my son, who's turning 12 shortly in a few days, he was able to see himself reflected. The language, the experiences, the emotions, the book that we listened to together was Rebound, and it was just phenomenal, and I just wanted to say thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, that's a great segue to, if you guys want to say anything in conclusion, I think we're going to go to sign books outside, and Kadir and Kwame will be available to do that. Whether you guys have any final thoughts?
I would just, to respond to what you just said, in that one of the best ways of discovering books is by accident. Just like in life, trying to plan everything out doesn't always work out, but it's nice when you can stumble upon something that is just beautiful. Like, you know, you're walking around the corner and then all of a sudden the sun is lit, the sky is lit up. You caught it just at the right time. You caught the moon at the right time, or you meet someone at the right time. This is an introduction to history in a really new, fresh way, with Kwame's really incredible poem, and with, you know, the artwork that I contributed to the book, and I really hope you all enjoy it. We had a really great time creating it, and we're having a really great time talking about it.
Yeah. I would end by thanking you, Kevin, for taking the time out of your schedule to moderate and host this, to thank the National Gallery of Art, thank Allie and Terrence and their team. I would end by saying that we become better people. We become more human, we become more connected when we allow the books that we may not have originally or initially thought, that's for my house. Like, the way you can tell how connected and empathetic and human someone is by looking at the books on their shelf, right? You can tell that. And I would say that The Undefeated has a lot in it for all of us to learn from. When I think of, you know, whether you're an illustrator like Gordon, trying to get your work out into the world because you want the world to be a better place, no matter how many challenges you're having, you must remain undefeated in your focus. Whether you're Kathy doing works trying to get young people engaged with literature through publishing, you gotta remember that there are people who've come before us who have done things in the face of impossibility. And so these children over here, I think this is for you. This is for you, this is for you, this is for you, this is for us. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for everybody for coming.
This has been a National Gallery of Art podcast.